Who doesn't like? Who? Well, there are no midgets here, so I guess we can... That's... Little people. See, in English, I don't know in Sanskrit, but in English there is a difference between a dwarf and a midget. A dwarf is a very short person, but generally they have this very large head, or at least they are, maybe the head is normal, but it looks larger on a smaller body, and they have a very short legs and very short arms. So the dwarfs are actually out of proportion. But midgets, at least, midgets, at least in English, it means a small person who are actually very proportioned. Everything is in proportion. They are smaller, but they don't have that sense of this. They don't see them as shorter legs or shorter arms. So Vamanadeva, I assume he was more of a midget than a dwarf. But we use dwarf, small person, small people. Okay, so we have a verse. I was given a verse to start. And we don't have the verse, so I'll just read through. It's Canto 8. Chapter 18, Lord Vamana, the dwarf incarnation, and the text is number 12. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. I just read the Sanskrit. Yattadvapur bhati vibhushana yudair avyakta chid vyaktam adharayat hari babhuvate naiva savamano vatu sampashyatur divyagatir yatanataha. Translation. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the word natha is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adhyam, Purana Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a Brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Vetti Tattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Omagyana Timiranda Syaginanjana Salakaya Shakshuru Manitami Natasma Shri Guru Vidma. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhare Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vashapatitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So we can read the translation again if you like to repeat. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. I'm sure many of you have already captured the similarity with the appearance of Lord Krishna, which we celebrated 2-3 weeks ago, Janmashtami. Because also Krishna appeared first with in a four-handed form, a Vishnu form, Narayana form, fully decorated with all the symptoms, characteristics, symbols of Narayana. So for the ornaments, the dress, the weapons, and so on. And here Vamanadeva does the same. And just like Krishna turned from that form to the two-armed form as a baby, also Vamanadeva turned from the Narayana form to the Brahmachari form of Vamanadeva, a dwarf, very small. In one sense, in the case of Vamanadeva, was even, in one sense, even more clear that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he had already appeared as Narayana in front of Aditi. What happened, as you know, the pretext or the catalyst for his appearance was the fact that the demigods had lost control of the heavenly planets. The demons, the asuras, led by Bali Maharaj, very valiantly, they had conquered the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Lord Indra. And so Aditi, the mother of the demigods, was in a very morose condition, was in a very, very distressed, depressed condition. First of all, she couldn't see Indra anymore because Indra and the others went into incognito. They hid themselves somewhere, out of fear of Bali Maharaj. And also the fact that they lost the kingdom was a very, very heavy thing on her heart. Imagine a mother who is very attached to her son, and the son maybe a millionaire or a billionaire and or the president of a country, and all of a sudden the son loses everything. How the mother will feel? Bad, will feel bad. So she was also feeling bad. So when Kashyapa, her husband, came back, he was in a retreat, a meditation retreat. I was going to say a japa retreat, but some sort of japa retreat for these munis, these rishis. He came back and asked, what's happening? Because he started seeing the signs of sadness. People were lamenting, people were very down, and said, what's happening? And then Aditya, you know, Indra lost everything. And then the first reaction of Kashyapa Muni was to preach to her and to tell her, look, this material gains, gain and loss is not important. Please steady your mind, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. I'm paraphrasing obviously, but that was the message. Don't think of these things. But that didn't work out very well. She did not agree. She did not like the idea of just tolerating this loss. So then, as a plan B, Kashyapa Muni told her, okay, if you really you can't resist this urge of getting the kingdom back, then do this Payuvrata austerity, this Payuvrata ceremony, this Payuvrata procedure. And he gives a detailed description. It's a 12-day austerity type of worship and so on. And Aditi did that. She was very disciplined. And she's also a devotee, obviously, great devotee. And after 12 days of the practice, Lord Vishnu appeared to her. Appeared to her, and then she gave prayers and not the usual reception of the Lord. And then after that, she became pregnant with Vamanadeva, with Vishnu. So in this case, Vamanadeva appeared as Vishnu even twice, before the pregnancy and after the pregnancy. And then he took the form of a brahmachari in front of everybody. So it's very clear, he is Narayan. It's not a material body. And I wanted to spend a couple of minutes reading about the Upanayan ceremony, because as a brahmachari, see, there is this Upanayana in which the brahmachari becomes a student, or actually becomes a brahmachari, we could say. Brahmachari is a student. Technically, a newly born baby is not a student, because he can't really study, cannot study. So it takes a few years, generally, 5 years or so. So there was this Upanayana ceremony, and all the great personalities of the universe participated, enjoyed that the Lord appeared, and they all put their own contributions. For instance, first of all, it's very interesting because they did all the ceremonies at once. In other words, they did the jama, karmas, the and immediately then they gave also the Brahmin thread. Because obviously in the case of the Lord, he doesn't have to go, he was already developed enough to do everything. So they had to do the jata karma and then immediately shift to the Upanayana. So, the sun god, Surya Dev, personally gave him the Gayatri Mantra. Which is very special, because the Gayatri Mantra, at least the official or more common understanding, the Gayatri Mantra is a mantra to honor the sun. So, the sun himself gives the mantra. So, it's very beautiful. And Brihaspati, who is the guru of the universe, gives the sacred thread. So the Brahmana, almost the topmost Brahmana in the universe, himself gives the sacred thread. And this reminds also us of the appearance of King Prithu in the fourth canto. King Prithu appeared, as you all know, from the body of Vena, the arms were churned and King Prithu appeared. And also there was this ceremony with all the demigods coming. But in that case, because Prithu was a king, they offered different gifts. Somebody brought a sword, somebody brought a shield, somebody brought slippers, somebody brought all this, what you call kingly, royal symbols. But in this case, because Vamanadeva appeared as a brahmachari, they gave brahmachari symbols. Obviously, they know how to they know how to lead, they know how, no, the proper. Would not have been proper to give a sword or a shield or a crown to Vamanadeva, obviously. Then Kashyapa Muni, he offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, which was the traditional dress of a brahmachari. We don't use that anymore, but it's deer skin. And then, who gave him the rod of a brahmachari? See, traditionally brahmachari had a little rod, a little stick. That was given personally by Chandra, the king of the moon. Because he's the king of the moon and also the king of the forest. So forest, trees, sticks come from the forest. So he gave personally the stick of the brahmachari. Then Aditi gave him kalpins, underwear, undergarments. And the presiding deity of the heavenly kingdom gave him an umbrella. Sometimes brahmacharis wear umbrellas. And then Brahma offered a water pot, and the seven sages offered him kusha grass. And then Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. So he must have looked really beautiful. In fact, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada said that he describes all the different avatars, and he says that there are three avatars that distinguish themselves for their beauty. One is Vamanadeva. Second is Balaram. And the third is Mohini Murti. So Vamanadeva is in the top three in beauty. And the beauty, I mean, if you could have a virtual beauty contest among the avatars, it will come top three. Not bad. So then you see also, it's very interesting how these gifts are appropriate to the giver. For instance, Kuvera, the treasurer, gave him appropriately a pot for begging alms. See, because obviously he is into economy. So obviously he gives something related to getting some money. So for begging. So Kuvera himself gave the pot. And then the wife of Lord Shiva, the most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. So the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati Devi, gave the first donation, the first bhiksha. So, having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, the best of brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. So this is how he is introduced. Obviously, everybody knew that he is the Lord. Otherwise, not Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Chandra. They don't come for any brahmachari, any upanayanam, or any vidyaramba. They don't come. So the fact that they came, it's another demonstration that they accepted the Lord. And they went along. Okay, he wants to be a brahmachari. Let him give these gifts as a brahmachari. So another thing that comes out of this story of Vamanadeva, and especially this, the fact that he took away the kingdom of Bali Maharaj to give it to the demigods. There is a description later, of course, you're all familiar with the story, so we will not get into so many details, time is a little short, but the story that Vamanadeva approached King Bali, who was doing a sacrifice, and off he begged from him. And Bali Maharaj agreed to give whatever he wanted. And the Lord, he said, no, no, I only want 3 steps of land. That's why his name is also Trivikrama. Trivikrama means step, so Trivikrama, the one with the 3 steps. And Vamanadeva said, because, you see, if we are not satisfied with what we have, we'll never be satisfied, no matter what we have. So 3 steps of land, generally 3 steps means is the place where you can lie down and sleep. Is the like the minimum space you need for living. And then Bali Maharaj told, no, but I can give you everything. I can give you so much. I can give you lands, cows. I can give you young and beautiful princesses you can marry. No, no, 3 steps are okay. And then, as you know, after Shukracharya tried to stop Bali Maharaj, and after, because he said, no, this is Vishnu, he will take out take away everything. And then Bali Maharaj considered, look, I gave my word is more important than maintaining control over this wealth. And so he went ahead, he poured the water as a symbol of giving charity, and then he said, okay, take 3 steps. So, as you know, Vamanadeva conquered the whole upper planetary system with the 1st step, he took everything else in the universe with the 2nd step, and there was this 3rd step was just missing. And so Vamanadeva said, look, you promised 3, you gave only 2, you must be arrested, because you broke your word. And then Garuda Deva came and ensnared Bali Maharaj with this rope, what's called Pashupati rope, some special name, something. And so Bali Maharaj was defeated. At one point, Bali Maharaj was there, tied up. His associates, the other demons, attacked. It's not fair. This is our king. He tricked him into giving everything. And then now you also arrest him. So they attacked, but the associate of Vishnu, the Vishnuduta, easily defeated these demons. So Bali Maharaj was there, having lost everything. And this is like a little picture we can meditate on. Sometimes the Bhagavatam does that. It gives us this different perception of what is success and what is failure, what is victory and what is defeat. In this case, Bali Maharaj was actually defeated, at least externally. He had conquered Indra's kingdom and then he lost it. And Indra, in this case, he regained the kingdom. He regained the right to rule. But actually, in a deeper sense, Bali Maharaj was the real winner, because Bali Maharaj, through his act of surrender, first of all, he became one of the 12 Mahajans, and after millions of years, we're still talking about his glories. We're here, 21st century after Christ, and we are still talking about Bali Maharaj, and we still take inspiration from him. We don't take generally so much inspiration from Indra, or at least from this Indra, or at least from this episode. He wanted the kingdom back, okay, he did it. In a devotional way, we could say the mother summoned or invoked the presence of the Lord, so it was devotional. But the end, Bali Maharaj got much more. I want to read some of the final verses where Vamanadev actually speaks to Bali Maharaj. Okay, he's talking, Vamanadev is talking with Brahma. Brahma came, offered respects. Prahlad Maharaj came. Prahlad Maharaj was the grandfather of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the son of Virochana, and who is the son of Prahlad Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is none other than Prahlad Maharaj's grandson. So he had this blood, we could say. So Brahma offered prayers. Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, offered prayers. And finally, Lord Vamanada starts replying. And he says different things. One thing he says is, because of his great tolerance, he's talking about Bali Maharaj, because of his great tolerance, I've given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Savarni. In other words, Bali Maharaj will become Indra, the next Manvantara. So we are in the seventh Manvantara, Vaivaishvata Manu. Next Manvantara, he will become Indra. So that's already certified by Vamanadeva. Not only that, until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of King of Heaven, and that time he will not have to fight to get it. He will be born as Indra. Or at least trans, I don't know exactly how it happens, but you know, he will not have to fight. He shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishvakarma according to my order. So what is this Sutala planet? Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go live there peacefully. O Bali Maharaj, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. So Bali Maharaj gets a planet which even the demigods wish for. But it doesn't end here. There are more blessings. Please listen. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. So Vamanadeva, he offers his own Sudarshan weapon for the protection of Bali Maharaj. First of all, he says, nobody will conquer you. You'll be unconquerable until you become Indra at the end of Manvantara. Manvantara is a period of 300 million years. Until you become Indra, you will rule. And if your own people, the demons, will transgress your order, will disobey you, my Sudarshan Chakra will kill them. And doesn't end here. More blessings. Oh great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects, along with your associate and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there, because there you will see my supreme prowess. Your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Dhanavas will immediately be vanquished. In other words, Bali Maharaj will have Vamanadeva living there in Sutala. And Vamanadeva says, I will also purify yourself. He's already, of course, fully surrendered. Definitely he's being accepted by the Lord. But Vamanadeva says, you've been with these demons long time, so there is still some contamination. But in my company, all these contaminations will go and you'll become pure. So perfect material situation and perfect spiritual situation, association of the Lord. And so in this case, as in other cases of the Bhagavatam, you see this thing, that sometimes who is defeated is the actual winner. Who is better positioned after all this, Bali Maharaj or Indra? Bali Maharaj. Yes, it was kind of a rhetorical question, but yes, you gave the right answer. Yes, it was Bali Maharaj. Because, first of all, he gets a better planet. Second, he will become Indra. Indra cannot remain Indra forever. And on top of that, he will have Vamana Dev. He will have Sudarshan Chakra protecting him. And then he will also have a process of purification, complete purification. And then I'm sure many other things which may not be mentioned. So we see that in the Bhagavatam, like in the story of Vritrasura, another enemy of King Indra. He was officially a demon, a very fearsome demon, because he had been cursed to become a demon. He was actually Maharaj Chitraketu. And as Maharaj Chitraketu, he had personal darshan of Lord Sankarshan. So he was a very great devotee. At the same time, for a little thing, he became a demon, Vritrasura. He ended up fighting with Indra. There is the old description, a few chapters actually in sixth canto. And even in that case, Indra won, finally killed Vritrasura. But Vritrasura, at the end of the story, he goes to Vaikuntha, and Indra remains Indra in this material world. And in fact, after that story, Indra has all these problems with the reaction of killing a Brahmana, because Vritrasura technically was a Brahmana, and he had the many miseries. So the winner, Indra, faces many difficulties and obstacles and even humiliations. While the quote-unquote the loser, he goes to Vaikuntha to associate with Sankarshan. And he knew that. There is a beautiful exchange between Vritrasura and Indra. And Vritrasura says, look, you are going to kill me because this Narayana Kavacha, it was given to you as a protection. It's invincible. It's Vishnu himself. So you will kill me. You will kill me. There's no... But I'm going to Vaikuntha. And you're not, basically. I mean, he didn't say you're not, but that was the kind of the message. I'm going to Vaikuntha. Okay, you keep these heavenly planets, but what's that? That won't free you from fear, won't free you from belligerence, won't free you from anxiety, won't free you from making mistakes. I'm going to the infallible world. Remember that this whole story of Vamana Deva started, in one sense, when King Indra offended his guru. You know the story. King Indra was sitting there in this royal assembly. Imagine an unimaginable opulence, all sorts of very noble associates, and a huge assembly hall, and opulence, and dancers, and this, and drinks, and everything. And then Brihaspati comes in. He's the guru, he's a Brahmana. And somehow Indra fails to offer him respect. He was too intoxicated, he was too absorbed. I'm the king, everybody's here for my pleasure. See, they're dancing, they're singing, they're glorifying me. These are my ministers, these are my servants, these are my soldiers. So he did not offer respect. And Brihaspati just left. He kept silence. And he just left. And Indra, showing his devotion of... Yeah, King Indra has many good qualities. Please, don't... No, we are not like an anti-Indra party or anything like that. Indra is a very elevated soul. So immediately in front of everybody, he started criticizing himself, doing some self-evaluation. He said, what a fool. See, the guru came, I did not offer respect. And so the demons, when they heard that, they knew now is the time to attack. They lost the Guru Kripa. They lost the mercy of the Guru. Now we can defeat them. And in fact, they defeated them. So you can also see this element. It's all about how you please the brahmanas. You may be big, small, very big, but when you lose the mercy, you lose everything. Like that. So there are these elements in the Bhagavatam, in other Vaishnava literature like the Mahabharata. We all know about the story of before the Kurukshetra war, when Krishna had given a promise to both Arjuna and Duryodhana that whoever sees me first, whoever I see first tomorrow morning, I will give whatever you want. And one of you can choose the army. It was a huge army. It was the Narayana Sena. It was an invincible army. It was not just one army. It was the Narayana Seva Sena army. And the other one will get me. Me as advisor, as a counselor, we could say, as a consultant. So Duryodhana was very eager to get the army. And I think most of you, all of you know the story. Krishna was sleeping, and Duryodhana went very early, basically the night, I don't know exactly what time, midnight. So he sat just near the face of Krishna, thinking, now as soon as Krishna wake up, he see me, because I'm just next to the bed, like 30 centimeters from Krishna. He was just there, eager. Then Arjuna came, and saw Duryodhana there, and Arjuna sat at the foot of the bed. And then Krishna woke up. He woke up and he saw first Arjuna at the feet of his feet. And then Duryodhana said, oh no, he saw first Arjuna, he will get the army. And so Krishna said, okay, I saw first Arjuna, sorry Duryodhana, but he has the choice. So Arjuna, what do you want? Want my army? What do you want me as a consultant? I will not fight. I will not enter the battle as a fighter. I will just be there helping. And then Arjuna said, I want you as my on my side. And then Duryodhana could not believe his ears. He was really happy. What? Arjuna chose Krishna. So that means I can get the whole army, the Narayana Sena, famous, invincible. And so he was happy at that time. In one sense, he got what he wanted. But obviously, as we know, it was a disaster. It was he got defeated. He lost his life. He lost his kingdom. He lost everything. So in other words, the Bhagavatam reorients us beyond the duality of victory and defeat. And the Bhagavatam teaches us the real victory is to have Krishna. The real victory is this yoga, this connection with Krishna. Anything else comes and goes, and sometimes if one quote-unquote wins, but he loses Krishna, that's a real defeat. And if somebody gets defeated, but he gains Krishna, that's a real victory. So today we can meditate on this story. Maybe some of you will find the time to read it. There are a few chapters in the Bhagavatam explaining. There are many details, many interesting details of how this all happened. Time is practically up. Let me say another thing. Today is also the appearance of Srila Jiva Goswami. So I'm not going to do justice to this appearance because it will deserve much more. I'm going just to say that Jiva Goswami is a great genius, a philosophical genius in our line, or in any line. And sometimes it is said, never a scholar like Jiva Goswami had appeared, and never will appear somebody like Jiva Goswami. And to me, I was thinking this morning, and in my mind, they create the connection of Vamanadeva and Jiva Goswami, because Vamanadeva was a small brahmachari, was even dwarf, so it's even smaller than usual. But it was a small brahmachari, but then he conquered the whole universe. He manifested. When he manifested at Trivikrama, he covered the universe. So Srila Jiva Goswami right now is famous among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of course. Everybody in Gaudiya Vaishnavism respects them very much. But his glory is not fully manifested to the world. I mean, most people in the world don't know Jiva Goswami. So it's like still like in the Vamana phase, as the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, his books, his teachings, his texts will become more and more famous. I mean, there will be a time in which Jiva Goswami's greatness will be recognized by many, 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 many more people than now recognize. And even within the movement, there is a direction, there is a trend, a thrust of discovering and exploring and learning more about Jiva Goswami. For instance, sandarbhas are being produced by different devotees. Just in the recent years, at least 2-3 devotees translated the Tattva Sandarbha. Another Sandarbha, Banu Maharaj, is working on the Tattva Sandarbha. Govardhan Publishing just came out with the Sri Tattva Sandarbha with the commentary by Gopi Paranadan Prabhu. So even within ISKCON, it's becoming more and more prominent. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said in the first verse of the first chapter of the first canto, he says something interesting. He says, so this is the first verse of the Bhagavata. You know, it's a long commentary. At the end of the commentary, he says, Srila Prabhupada says, within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. In other words, Srila Prabhupada himself says, the serious student. Serious student means the one who really wants to learn the Bhagavatam, make his life into a Bhagavata life, wants to make this study of Srimad Bhagavatam like a lifelong mission. We'll have to study these things, especially the Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami wrote 2 different commentaries on Bhagavatam. He wrote the Krama Sandarbha. Krama, as I said before, means step. So the Krama Sandarbha is a, we could say, sequential commentary. It starts from first canto, second canto, and goes like Srila Prabhupada commentary. But then he wrote that the Bhagavata Sandarbha, which is not sequential, but is by topic. So he writes 4 books on Sambandha Gyan. Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavata Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, and Krishna Sandarbha. Then one on Abhidheya process. So that's the Bhakti Sandarbha. And then one on Prema, the Prayojan, Priti Sandarbha. So he goes, doesn't go sequentially, but goes to different parts of the Bhagavatam where these particular points are illustrated. See, my time is up. Should we try to take some comments or should we close here? Comments or questions? You have a question? How many of you would like to ask a question? 1, 2 questions. We'll try to process them quickly. Yes, Prabhu? You have a mic? Jiva Goswami's many books are lost. Is it true or not? I don't know. It's the first time I hear this. I hope it's not true. The first time I hear that many of his books are lost. Oh, so there was a fire in the Varanasi University and the books were burned. I hope there were some other copies somewhere else. I mean, as the first time, maybe Prabhu can comment. You want to give the mic? Did you fix the mic? So there is the Granta Samadhi near the Samadhi of in the temple of Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohan. So they are there. Sorry, I didn't get. So they've been buried in Samadhi. So they're there. At least they're there. I don't know when they will be exhumed from their Samadhi, but it's a fact. Jiva Goswami wrote 400,000 verses. So the Bhagavatam is 18,000. So he wrote something like more than 20 times the Bhagavatam. But in any case, at least we can study what we have. It's not that we can say, well, not everything is available, so I don't bother with that. So there's a lot of books which are available. Sandarbhas are available, Gopal Champu is available, so many books are available. Okay, the grammar, no? Thank you. Last question. So the question, correct me if I'm wrong, the question is basically how do we know if we are connected to Krishna, really, because Bali Maharaj was connected to Krishna, but how do we know that we are connected to Krishna? We know by a process of checking our life, our behavior, our thoughts with sadhu, guru and shastra. In other words, there are parameters to know that are we connected. It's a process of introspection. We may be connected, but our motivation may not be fully 100% there. Like in the case of Aditi, she was a devotee. I mean, she was a devotee. First of all, the Lord appeared as her son, and appeared even before becoming as a son. So certainly, she is a great devotee. At the same time, the motivation for calling the Lord was somewhat political. She wanted basically to reinstate his children, her children, to the power. So there was maybe a tinge of personal motivation. So the fact that we have a method to connect with Krishna, and you all know very well, we have some very clear directives. We chant the holy names at least 1,728 times a day. We chant the Ma Mantra, we should engage in devotional service, we should serve the Vaishnavas, we should read the books, and this is Krishna, definitely. The holy name is Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, the deities are Krishna. So we should know that we are connected with Krishna, we should know. Then of course there is a process of purification, just like Bali Maharaj. Vamanadeva said, you go to Sutala, I'll be with you, Sudarshan will protect me, and on top of that, by my association, you will be purified by the whatever contamination, whatever imperfections are there in your consciousness due to your long association with the Asuras. So I would say we are in a similar situation. We are in touch with Krishna. I mean, we cannot doubt, we shouldn't doubt we are in touch with Krishna daily. At the same time, there is a process of purification so that we can become more conscious, more aware of the presence, and not only awareness, but we become start developing taste for the Krishna's presence, taste, and then finally love for Krishna. So thank you very much for your kind attention and your presence. So have a great Vamanadeva appearance day celebration. Vamanadvada Sikhi Jai Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Jiva Goswami Havir Bhavti Di Mahamahotsav Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.